On this second Sunday of Easter, we see before us the task of persisting in our faith in the resurrection. Last Sunday, we celebrated this good news that the women heralded. And this Sunday, we think about what it means to continue to believe and to trust in that good news. We see this across our reading today. We see this in the book of Acts. We see this in 1 Peter. We see this in our gospel with Thomas. In our reading from Acts, we see those who have the opportunity to place their faith in Christ prior to the crucifixion, but who chose not to. Peter is very clear with this crowd gathered around on this day of Pentecost. More on that later. That they knew who Jesus was. They had seen the deeds and the works that he had done. He had been attested to them by God already. And yet, they still handed him over to death. Even though they had every opportunity to place their trust in Christ, they chose not to. They chose instead to give him up to Gentiles. He would be crucified, those outside the law. And now they are being invited once more to contemplate having faith in Jesus, to see that God continues to attest to Jesus as the Messiah through the resurrection. Those gathered likely thought this story was at its end. Jesus, having been crucified, surely that would be the end of it. Surely they wouldn't have to hear about Jesus of Nazareth ever again. And yet, here was Peter, still bearing witness to Jesus as Messiah, still inviting them to persist, to have faith that this is true. See something similar going on in our reading from John today as well. Thomas, unlike this crowd around Peter, did believe that Jesus was the Messiah, did place his hopes and his trust in Jesus as the long-awaited one. But now those hopes were dashed. His faith is shaken because Jesus has been killed. He too thinks the story is now over. He seems to have walked away from a hope, a belief, a trust that Jesus could be the Redeemer, the Savior still. And of course, all this is quite reasonable. This isn't to besmirch Thomas in any way. We would have thought the same thing. And when the other disciples came and told us that Jesus was risen, we would likely have Thomas's response. How can we believe and trust that good news? It is difficult to have our hope rekindled, our faith renewed. But the good news of the resurrection sounds too good to be true. So Thomas demands extra signs. Only if I can experience Jesus myself in a particular way, a relatively gruesome way, I may add, will I believe? And perhaps the disciples who told him also despaired of this. How do we know Jesus will return to us again? And if so, how do we know Jesus would allow you to do what you were asking to do, Thomas? We see in this story, too, that it's difficult to persist in faith, especially when there are challenges that arise that would make us doubt. This is, of course, what our second reading is getting at today. We hear about these sufferings, these trials, these difficulties. And we may think that, well, in light of the resurrection, shouldn't these all be gone? Didn't we celebrate Easter last week? God has conquered death. Now all the problems of this world should be overcome. Things should go easily and swimmingly for us from this point forward. And yet our second reading reminds us this is not the case. We still experience adversity, pushback, suffering, difficulties in this world. And like the disciples, like Thomas, those can threaten to overwhelm our faith. We can wonder, can we still believe in the resurrection in light of the suffering, the challenges we see and experience? But our author of 1 Peter turns this on its head and instead says, well, of course we can, because these very trials, these very sufferings, demonstrate our faith to us. Our faith, like a precious metal, is just being passed through fire. Its impurities are being burned away, and it will glow all the brighter for us. That we will see our faith on display as we encounter these difficulties, these challenges, and discover the ways in which God would continue to work in our lives to help us cling to a faith that will not necessarily make sense to those around us. But it is for this very reason that our faith then can shine out all the more, can reveal the glory of God. I think this is what we are seeing on display today in our reading from Acts. The disciples have gone through a terrible and awful ordeal as they have seen their Lord and their Savior be crucified. They have experienced trials and tragedy, and it has been an opportunity for their faith to be refined and purified. And I think this crowd that stands around today recognizes this. As these men, as these disciples, now boldly declare Christ as risen, even though that prior to this, they had just been cowering away, they had been scattered, they probably were lying low, and the people would say, there's something going on here. There's some power at work in their lives. Of course, that power would be on full display in the form of rushing wind and flaming tongues, but even apart from that, we see a faith and a boldness, a conviction in these words of Peter. And the people are able to see their faith, giving praise and glory to God. They know something is at work here that is different than what they have seen before. And they are being invited to know the same faith for themselves, that they too can believe and trust the resurrection of Christ, and that faith can sustain them in the midst of their challenges, difficulties. Their faith too may be refined. And seeing this process, seeing the ways in which Peter and the apostles are going to invite this crowd into this community of faith, into believing the good news that Christ has been raised from the dead, we can think we must be like Peter today in order to accomplish that goal, that task. We too must have a great speech to make, an opportunity to boldly declare our faith, and perhaps we will. Perhaps we will have an opportunity to do just that. But I think our gospel reading today reveals to us what we are called most often to cultivate faith within those around us. Because this is what the disciples have to do for Thomas. They go and bear witness to him that they have seen the Lord. They tell of their experience, that they have encountered the risen Christ, and he struggles to believe it. But the disciples don't counter that with a great speech here. We don't see them arguing with Thomas, trying to get him to truly believe what they have seen and heard. All we know is that they will let him into their group. Then a week later, Jesus shows up and Thomas is there with them. And Jesus is then the one who works to cultivate Thomas's faith. Jesus says, I will meet your demand, Thomas. I will do what is necessary that you may believe that I am not dead, but alive. So too, this I think is what we are invited to do. We are not gathered to try to figure out the right argument to make to others, but we are invited to share the good news of what God has done for us in our lives, and to invite others to experience that same good news, to draw near and see that Jesus shows up and helps us persist in our belief, helps cultivate our faith. This is what we experience today in this meal. Our risen Lord shows up in this bread and wine, body and blood, and still breathes out peace upon us, still shares the Holy Spirit with us, still sends us out. Here we encounter the truth that it is Christ and the Holy Spirit who cultivates faith. We know that it is not up to us in our arguments, not up to us with the perfectly couched words. Instead, we are simply called to go forth to celebrate and share the love of Christ, trusting that Jesus will reveal his own self to others in his own time. A day, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime, whatever it may be, we know that it is Christ working the power of the Holy Spirit to make the love of God known, to ensure that faith is strengthened and nourished, instilled and cultivated. We are confident that Jesus will continue to show up in this world because we are confident that Jesus lives. We're confident of these things because Jesus still shows up today, in this moment. And as we see our risen Lord, we are like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. As we encounter the good news of the resurrection once more, Jesus stands before us, we can only say, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.